You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It is nice to have you back here up north on a Friday morning. It is September 19th, 2025. Parker Olson's producing things down in Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by. And so is our Week in Review panel, journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, to talk about the big stories of the week. And obviously, what is happening to our First Amendment in our corporate media is going to be a big part of this hour's discussions. In our next hour, Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us along with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good, talking about a big diaper drive going on for a local diaper bank and how you can help out and how your donations can be doubled thanks to somebody who's going to be matching all of those gifts. And Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to talk all about the Brewers sweeping the Angels and now heading to St. Louis for a series against the Cardinals. And then they had out of the St. Louis series this weekend, they then head to, where is it? San Diego. That's right, for games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. And then they come home for the final homestand of the season next weekend against Cincinnati. And that gets us to Free Ticket Friday. This is the final Free Ticket Friday of the Brewers season. So you want that Civic Media app handy to send us the keyword I'm going to give you in just a little bit, and you can get 4 tickets to next Friday night's game versus Cincinnati. And it's our last Free Ticket Friday. So listen for that keyword. You'll have until 9 o'clock to text it in, and then more keywords throughout the day, more chances to enter. One of those drawings or one of those entries today will be drawn to win those 4 tickets to the game. Now let's give it to you now. It's blue, B-L-U-E. Text the keyword blue, like the color, before 9 a.m., and you will be in the running for those Brewers tickets on Free Ticket Friday. Now let's get to meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who is looking at a radar over the upper Midwest that just basically looks like an old cocktail napkin, and you put the cup of coffee on there or whatever, and it's just got these rings of a mess. And it's just these rings of rain all over the place, and you just don't know when it's going to rain, but you know you're on the napkin somewhere, Brittany.
I have never heard that comparison, and I love it. You've got me cracking up. I can't even think now.
Now
that's perfect.
Yes, I mean, it is. You look at the napkin. You lift up the coffee cup, and you go, ooh, maybe maybe I should aim better when I'm pouring. But be that as it may, we got a mess across the Midwest.
We do. And this isn't even the low pressure system itself. This is still just a front wrapped through the state. But the winds are picking up. It's going to be a breezy day today, and that's going to continue into the weekend. Actually, we have a beach hazard statement on all the Lake Michigan shores through at least tomorrow. And we're also looking at Douglas County. You're going to see some of the bigger waves potentially approaching about 10 feet high. So strong winds off the lake, strong winds inland as well, and a lot of rain on and off. It's becoming numerous now throughout the state, a little heavy at times, especially right now towards Hurley, Eau Claire, Park Falls. You're kind of getting in the mix of that. But this is going to be the case as we go through the next few days. What I'm thinking is we'll have a little break this afternoon, and then more starts to ramp up later tonight, or it could be heavy in spots. We might get a little bit of a break tomorrow, but then Sunday it looks to get heavy as well, and potentially into Monday too, where we could see a front setting up across southeastern parts of the state where it could just start to downpour, maybe 2 inches, 3 inches in some spots. But widespread, we're really looking at about a half an inch to an inch by the time this weekend is said and done. Really depends on if your town gets underneath multiple thunderstorms or not. This is a messy system. It has honestly been one of the hardest ones to forecast, to be honest with you. But the good news is I don't see any severe weather in it. I just see some heavy rainfall potentially. So breezy, wet, dark, and dreary this weekend. Don't forget the umbrella. I actually made a post on Facebook. I want pictures of your umbrellas. I just started thinking this morning, there's got to be an array of colors and designs and things. And if you get caught in the rain, I want to see a video too.
Yes, there are absolutely so many umbrellas. That's a great idea.
I wonder if there are any umbrellas that look like Pat's shirt.
Right?
Oh, you know, the one day I don't wear a plaid or a flannel shirt, and now it's being used as fodder for umbrellas. No, it's just, it's got little palm trees on it. It's fine. Let's see what's in the mailbag here. First off, from Alicia. Ooh, what's with the honeycomb design on the shirt? All right, moving on here. From Roger and Stevens Point. Good morning. As the bells echo from St. Peter's Church, I tuned into the game that Chad Holmes called last night, Wausau East at Mosinee. The game had a 1 hour, 40 minute rain delay with a thunderstorm. Mosinee won 35-7 as the game went final at almost 11 p.m. Chad Holmes puts in some long days. Let's see. I know that we've got Rob in Tigerton here. Here he is. Good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 59, he puts on YouTube. Yesterday, I was busy mowing 5 yards in Tigerton. Yesterday, when you were all talking about pizza, I had a supreme pizza at Blazers Bar and Grill in Split Rock. And he notes that the Tigerton sunsets are rapidly coming before 7 o'clock, 6:58. Is what he says sunset's going to be in Tigerton. He said last night around Lake Dubay area, north of Stevens Point, had 2.5 inches of rain. Tigerton, 0.2 inch of a rain overnight. He said, we do need the rain. It was the first in 10 days. And so that much rain is needed. And he also says he does not have an umbrella. Whereas Alicia puts on there.
You have all of that info.
I know. Alicia says, ooh, I've got a rainbow umbrella that I bought at Fox Valley Pride. So get them sent in. And I mean, do you subscribe to the whole theory of, you know, opening an umbrella inside is bad luck, or can people open their umbrella inside to make the video or the photo? Ooh. Or would you rather they be outside? Okay.
I wouldn't do that. I would be outside with it. Outside's better. Come on.
Look at you being all superstitious.
But if it's stored inside and you're not going anywhere and it's just sitting there, you can just send a picture of it just sitting there. That's fine.
Okay, that'll work. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Have a good day.
Hey, remember you can sign. Where'd that go? Come back here. Remember you can sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a weekday version. We've got a weekend version with a Sunday morning question of the week that I put together. The weekday one is put together by Ellie, our new Newswatch newsletter editor, and she talks as well about the diaper drive that we're going to be discussing an hour from now with Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good. So you've certainly got a story there of ways that you can help us out. And there's also a story here about a Lake Michigan shipwreck that has been found uncovered after 139 years. So learn more about that in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. In the news, there is a report that Congressman Tom Tiffany might be on the verge of announcing a run for governor. It's not an announcement that's coming from him. It came from Wisconsin College Republicans. Yesterday, they tweeted out a flyer advertising a very special event in Wausau hosted by Tom Tiffany coming up next Wednesday, September 24th. Multiple Republicans in the state told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that Tiffany is planning to officially jump into the 2026 governor's race next week. I mean, I'm still not thoroughly convinced because, again, putting your name out there is a great way to do fundraising and build name ID. And in the end, he could say, you know, this just isn't the right time for me, but thanks for all of you who've been writing checks recently. So again, I'll believe it when I hear it. Although it would be great news for Wisconsin Republicans, because right now they have two relative unknowns who are running in Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Waukesha County business owner Bill Berrien. And so while Tom Tiffany is far better up north in the 7th Congressional District, his name, of course, has come up in countless conversations because Republicans are desperately seeking a rare win in state elections. You would get the impression that Republicans were dominant in Wisconsin to look at the legislature, but that, of course, was based on maps that were gerrymandered for over a decade. If you look at statewide elections, there have been 18 statewide elections dating back to 2018. And of those 18 statewide elections, the Democratic or the progressive candidate has won 15 of those 18 state elections. Now, there will be a primary, of course, both for the Democrats and the Republicans for the governor's race. There will be races next year for lieutenant governor, attorney general, treasurer, secretary of state. But with a wide open governor's race, Republicans are looking for somebody who has name ID. And so it is quite possible, though I would say not a certainty yet, that Tom Tiffany could get into the race in the middle of next week. Coming up this weekend, we're going to hear more about a Republican plan that would make some big changes about elections and ballot drop boxes. That note is coming from WISN-TV ahead of their Sunday show, Up Front. They will be interviewing Republican State Representative Scott Krug. He's the Assembly Majority Leader. He's the Vice Chair of the Assembly Elections Committee. And it starts off with some good news. The Republican proposal that's about to be unveiled would finally allow the processing of absentee ballots the day before Election Day. That's something that should have been done a long time ago. It's not counting the ballots. That happens on Election Day. But it's a process to get the envelopes, open up the envelope. Well, first verify the envelopes against the voter list, then open them up and get them set. And then you can feed them, you know, the next day. Whereas if you're doing it day of, it stretches the process out. And frankly, Republicans haven't fixed it because they like that it's stretched out. They like that sometimes the results don't come in until after midnight because of big cities like Milwaukee, Green Bay, Racine, Kenosha, and elsewhere. And they can say, oh, there must be something suspicious going on with these ballots coming out late at night. Well, now Republicans say they are willing to pass a bill that would begin processing absentee ballots the day before. Of course, there's always a catch. There's always a catch. And so the bill would mandate new, quote, security measures for drop boxes, including 24-hour surveillance video of each drop box that must be live streamed on the municipality's website. Ballots would also need to be transferred under the supervision of a law enforcement officer, and the legislation would penalize clerks who correct errors on absentee ballot requests. In other words, this is going after a fly with a sledgehammer. This is overkill to the umpteenth degree here. Surveillance video on every Dropbox that has to be live streamed on the municipality website. I'll say it again. There is already a penalty for mail fraud. If you use the mail fraudulently, you're going to get in trouble. Do we put 24-hour cameras on every mailbox? Does the city of Chippewa Falls have to have a website showing the webcams of every mailbox? No. Same goes for absentee ballot drop boxes. I'm up here in the town of Eagle Point. Has a beautiful old town hall. You're telling me that this town and every other township that wants an absentee ballot drop box now has to go through the expense of a live stream 24-hour camera and has to have a law enforcement officer there to transfer the ballots? Once again, these Republican legislators are teasing you by saying, hey, we're willing to make elections go a little bit more smoothly, processing those absentee ballots, but here's some strings attached. And they're not even strings. These are ropes. These are chains. This is a non-starter. But it's been pretty par for the course lately when it comes to Republicans managing elections. Our Week in Review panel is coming up. Our keyword before 9 a.m. for Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets to next Friday's game against the Cincinnati Reds is blue. Text blue, B-L-U-E, before 9 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Our esteemed Week in Review panel is coming up right after we talk a bit about what they're all up to these days. You can get from Jennifer Schulze her newsletter on Substack called Indistinct Chatter. Search for News Jennifer. Her latest issue says it does no one any good for Charlie Kirk's life to be sane washed or for reporters to rush to publish unverified info. From Mark Jacob, who's got Stop the Presses at stopthepresses.news and couriernewsroom.com, talks about media timidity from some cowardly journalists after the Charlie Kirk murder. And of course, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel has Amicus Law Review every Saturday starting at 9 a.m. on Civic Media radio stations around Wisconsin. Learn more at civicmedia.us. Jennifer, Jim, Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
See, yeah, I'm getting better. I'm just saying good morning. I'm not saying good morning. How are you? Because then there's that uncomfortable thing after that. So we'll just stick with good morning. So here we are. I feel like, you know, this segment got started with just, you know, Mark came on board and I thought, well, let's get some friends here to join in with us. But every so often, I just want to go back to the way that it was in the beginning, because I just know all I have to do is say something and it's like pulling a string. Mark, ABC capitulated to Donald Trump, and they basically are, I'm sure Jimmy Kimmel's not coming back the way things are looking right now. What do you think? I'm going to go get some breakfast. I'll be back in a while. The floor is yours. You let her loose, Mark.
Well, look, the real problem is corporate media. It's people, big corporations who own a lot of different businesses, that many of which have nothing to do with journalism, but they happen to own media outlets as well. Therefore, because they're scared of Trump sabotaging their other interests, they're willing to sacrifice their media outlet or the legitimacy of it in order to satisfy the would-be dictator. You know, and so that's why they are so quick to capitulate, to, you know, throw millions of dollars at Trump and to do what they did to Kimmel. And there's this self-censorship going on now in media, you know, where people get fired for saying perfectly reasonable things, just to maybe they think it's almost like the Aztecs, you know, throwing people into the fire to sacrifice themselves them to the gods. I mean, there is this kind of idea that if the media punishes its own, then the dictator will be satisfied. Well, and the truth is, the dictator's never satisfied. The dictator wants more and more always.
I saw this going in a lot of directions. I did not have Aztec sacrifice on my bingo card.
To Mexico soon, so I'm really thinking Aztecs.
this is why we got him here. Jennifer, I mean, again, equally shocking that we're at that point where it's not even like a suspension. It is, you know, bending the knee in record time.
Yeah, really. It's it is absolutely incredible how this happened, but not at all surprising. Remember that Trump said after Colbert's show was not renewed, he said on social media, Kimmel is next. And he has been attacking Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert for years. So this is, I'm sure, maybe it wasn't written down in Project 2025, but it was part of the revenge plan. And I don't think he's going to stop there. He said, you know, the NBC late night comedians should be fired next. So, you know, I think this is going to keep going. I don't know who's going to stop it, but it's a really bad place for us to be.
Here's who would normally stop it: an independent Federal Communications Commission. Right. But Jim Santel, I mean, we know what the law that set up the FCC would do in a perfect world. But from a legal standpoint, we're in a different kind of area when you have an FCC commissioner who is just an outright toady to the sitting president.
And it's contrary to the congressional intent, right? We've got all these agencies, FCC among them. Oh, by the way, the Federal Reserve is out there also being attacked. Consumer Product Safety Commission, all kinds of things. They're established by the Congress. They are not sitting around the president's cabinet table. He does not have authority over them. And yet, yes, appointments are often made, and there's no doubt about that. But the concept by Congress was independence. You don't want political decision-making going on at these agency levels. And again, up to now, the Supreme Court in many of these cases has said, all right, even while we're litigating that underlying issue, which has been resolved, we know the president does not have authority in these areas, we'll let you go ahead and fire people, let you go ahead and frankly encourage exactly the kind of thing that the Congress prohibited, which was partisan perspective, doing things that are on the agenda of a particular political party. It is completely antithetical, regardless of what your political views are, Republican, Democrat, somewhere in between. This is not the way our administrative strategy was set up and our structure was set up to operate in this way.
No, not at all. And Mark, I mean, we'll get more into this after the break, but I mean, Where do we go from here? I mean, we do have people like just a minute ago, Adam put up, I immediately canceled my Disney Plus subscription. I love Disney's content, but I need to speak with my wallet. And there are plenty of people doing that from more of a big picture standpoint. Are we relatively just tied up until the midterms and maybe there's a change in Congress?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, because Congress is letting all this happen. I mean, they've pretty much just surrendered all of their duty to the American people. But I really think, you know, acting with your wallet is the way to go. I mean, why are these big corporations complying with Trump's fascism for money? Because they think democracy won't make them as much money as this will. And it's all bottom line stuff. So why not hit them with the bottom line? So yeah, I'm for boycotts. I think that's the way to go. You know, the thing that really strikes me about this, Pat, is that idea that Trump hates government regulation, supposedly.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yet the FCC is doing way more regulating and climbing into our business than it ever did before.
It's like they hate red tape. Oh, we hate red tape but we sure know how to impose it when we want to. Yeah. We'll have more with our Week in Review panel coming up after the break. Again, blue is our keyword for Free Ticket Friday for Brewers tickets. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up Monday on the program, we'll be talking to State Senator Kelda Royce, who announced at the start of this week that she is a candidate for governor. So we'll talk to her Monday about her entering the gubernatorial race for 2026. Then on Wednesday in our homeroom segment, we will talk to Dr. Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Yesterday, she gave her State of Education address and said that the first thing we try to teach our school kids is to stand up to bullies. And right now, the biggest bully in education is this federal government. So we'll talk to Jill Underley about that coming up next Wednesday here on the program. We do want you texting in the word blue. That's our keyword for Free Ticket Friday. But while you're at the Civic Media app, there is that text feature to text us things like the word blue or comments or questions. But there's also a voice note feature. If you use that button instead, you can record a little audio message to us that we can listen to or that we could even play back on the radio. So check that out through the Civic Media app. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here along with journalist Jennifer Schulze and Mark Jacob. Nice to have you back here for this week's Week in Review panel. And Jennifer, we'll start with you because we've already discussed the pulling of Jimmy Kimmel in response to allegedly in response to things that he said. And by the way, if any of you missed that in the last segment, subscribe to us as a podcast over at Spotify and you'll never miss any of these segments. But what it risks doing here with this Jimmy Kimmel thing is we're now focused on the way the First Amendment is essentially being trashed by corporate media. And I think that only fits the ongoing, what you and I would call sane washing of Charlie Kirk's record, that people are being made to feel afraid to speak the truth about this guy. And it is more important than ever to, as I said before, we're not going to do the deification of Charlie Kirk on this program.
I think we are in a perfect storm. The years of demonizing the media and, you know, embracing alternate facts, or did she say alternative facts, we're seeing the absolute impact of that right now. Facts do not matter. If you utter Charlie Kirk's name and you're not the right person doing that, there is a mob coming after you for your job. They're coming, you know, they're sending threats. It is a remarkable time in American history. You cannot say anything that the mob does not like, or you risk everything. And people are being fired for saying really pretty mild stuff. And there's a myth, I think, out there that people are celebrating and people are, you know, demonizing. And surely there is some of that because the internet is a big place. But the impression you might get from that is that it's Democratic politicians, that it's, you know, leaders of the opposition from, you know, well-known groups. It is not. But it is so consumed everybody and everything that up is down and down is up. It's an incredible thing.
It's what I always say about, you know, Ronald Reagan's welfare queens. There will always be at least one person gaming the system. And there will always be one immigrant who's committing a crime. And even if that's the only one, if you blow that up, people are going to think that's what everybody is doing. And that's what they're doing now with people who are not even criticizing Charlie Kirk, Mark Jacob. They're simply repeating his words back. And now you have from Congressman Derek Van Orden becoming a modern day Joseph McCarthy. You have, as Jennifer refers, this mob that begins at the very top with essentially a mob boss in the White House unleashing this mob, something that he's got experience doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, it's clear that the right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. And so they're just looking for pretexts. I mean, it's the whole, if people need to understand what the Reichstag fire was in Germany, and that was when somebody, it's still not even clear who, set the parliament on fire. Now, that the Nazis reacted by getting rid of all civil rights and creating a dictatorship. So, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making a one-to-one comparison with MAGA and Nazis, although I'd stop making any comparison if they'd stop acting like that. But what I'm saying is that they look for pretexts. Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. And the Kirk thing, which was a terrible act by, you know, a confused young man, is their pretext. And that's a thing. As Jennifer pointed out, you know, 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It's not that it didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk, not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Yeah, exactly. And you have in this growing mob, Jim Santel, you have people who are, we've gone from support to allegiance to blind faith, and they are starting to lose sight of things like the difference between a king and a president. And that was a theme echoed this week by a sitting Supreme Court justice.
Sonia Sotomayor is in New York City at the NYU Law School. It's Constitution Day on Wednesday. We all celebrated that, right? Back in 1787. A couple years later, we passed a thing in the first Congress saying, yes, indeed, there's freedom of the press, freedom of speech. Gosh, those were the days, right? So Sonia Sotomayor is in New York, and she's talking all about these things. And she is saying, bemoaning the fact that Americans may no longer have a real clear civics understanding of how these things work, how the meanings of the Constitution, those words, do in fact have some significance. She also takes appropriately a shot at lawyers, which I appreciate. She says, I think the thing that gets me every time I listen to a lawyer-trained representative saying we should criminalize free speech, in the same way, I think to myself, that law school has failed. If any student who becomes a lawyer hasn't been taught civics, then the law school has failed. And again, not only is there cynicism by this president and others in Washington, other places around the country, but it's so cynical because it relies upon the incapacity of Americans to understand how things work. And that's just not promoting institutional things. It's understanding what the First Amendment means. Not every single case has been decided for 200 years, but the fundamental trappings of it. That's what she is bemoaning, and she is saying that in the midst of an internet that permits you to post anything that you want, that confusion only adds to this huge problem of lack of understanding about how things are supposed to work.
So we've got the cynicism that's out there, and it has become a self-fulfilling prophecy, which is a little odd because, I mean, people have been making cynical jokes about government as long as there have been governments. But it has that cynicism is built to such a level, Jennifer, that there's people that are willing to essentially allow a government to be overthrown and allow, you know, the First Amendment to be trashed because of their cynicism. It makes it hard to believe that there is a way to start to turn things back. And I'm putting this on your shoulders first, whether you want to talk about media companies or media consumers. What kinds of first steps are there that start to have more people understand the importance of the First Amendment and not allowing presidents to be dictators? I guess I'd go first just to say what we need is for networks, and I would also say for colleges and universities, a few more people to be especially vocal in standing up and resisting this trend.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. Right now, people are afraid. At every level, people are afraid. And we need more people to be brave and stand up to everything that Trump is doing and remind your neighbors, your family, what the Constitution says, free speech, what it really means, and maybe even dig down to the granular stuff. I mean, one of the things about the Kimmel story that really bothers me is what he said and what he didn't say is not in most of the news coverage. He actually, all of MAGA is saying he said a MAGA person killed Charlie Kirk. He did not. He was making fun of Donald Trump. And I scoured news coverage yesterday in the follow-up stories about the Jimmy Kimmel suspension. And I couldn't find many that actually had what Kimmel said and also reflected what MAGA is saying he said. So it's an interesting, there is an Earth 2 over here. And I think people need to really understand that and appreciate it and then try to puncture it. And I think one of the ways we fight back against that is I think we have to start really leaning into alternative communication things. I think network news is on its way out. So what's going to replace it? You know, where's Jimmy Kimmel going to pop up next? He's not going to go back to ABC News or ABC. I doubt it. Where's he going to come? There's got to be alternative spaces. We already know that there are. I think we have to also help support the ones that are there and grow them, like Courier and things like that. And maybe that's a start.
Yeah. Let's look at another dimension of this, Mark. And it's not, we've been talking about ABC a lot here, but let's talk about the affiliates and the affiliate ownership. Ugh. And now I'm really going to show my age, because I grew up at a time when we had what was called the rule of sevens. The most anybody could own was 7 AMs, 7 FM radio stations, and 7 TV stations, and that was it. And now we have these groups that own dozens and dozens of stations and
hundreds of
stations. And if they have right-wing ownership and biases like Sinclair and maybe Nexstar as well, it's those affiliate groups that are truly the big corporate media, arguably more so than the networks. And that is that just is blaring antitrust mm-hmm. issues in my mind, Mark.
Well, that's a key thing, because while ABC as an entity doesn't, you know, get regulated, or they don't have to be sanctioned by the FCC, the licenses, they're not licensed by the FCC. The individual stations, local stations, are licensed by the FCC. And that's where you know, that's where the Brendan Carr has them, you know, by the neck. I mean, and what you have is Nexstar, for example, which was part of the whole Kimmel thing, you know, got that ball rolling. They have a deal now to get even bigger. That's got to be approved by Brendan Carr and the FCC. So clearly they're going to do whatever Trump wants in order to get bigger and bigger. And you know, if people are complaining about the lack of disparate voices and lack of free speech, which the right wing was talking about, at least during the Biden administration, they need to be looking at these monopolies that are being built up. And you know, if you're Trump, You want monopolies if they're beholden to you, because that just shuts everyone else out. And so these, so Sinclair and Nexstar and places like that are extremely powerful now because they're completely controlled by Trump and they'll do whatever he wants.
And again, not to get too deep in the weeds, although I'm always tempted to do like the entire 3-hour show, Jim, on Hungary and what we're now, I think a lot more people are learning the word urbanization for yes. Viktor Orban. And I've only got a couple of seconds here, but I mean, I think people are right to be concerned about government, not necessarily owning media, but having very friendly people in those ownership positions.
Absolutely. Very brief point. There is still an antitrust division inside the Department of Justice that should be attacking the very monopolies, those things. We used to do that. We don't do that anymore under this administration.
That's right. Jim Santel, you can hear him on Amicus Law Review Saturdays at 9. You can get Indistinct Chatter from Jennifer Schulze on Substack. And you can get Stop the Presses from Mark Jacob at stopthepresses.news through couriernewsroom.com, all part of our amazing Week in Review panel. And again, Free Ticket Friday, the keyword until 9 a.m. to text us is blue. Your chance to be in the running for a drawing for 4 tickets to see the Brewers versus Cincinnati next Friday night. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Got another great day of programming here across the Civic Media Radio Network. You heard Greg Bach earlier. He and Jane Mattenair will have Mattenair on Air coming up at 9 o'clock. And their guest at 9:35 this morning is Congressman Mark Pocan. And then they'll have Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area just after 10 a.m. The Todd Alba Show can be heard from 2 to 4 this afternoon. And at 2:30, Todd will be talking to Bill McCoshin. Now, you and I would probably know Bill McCoshin best as the lobbyist, a former chief of staff and campaign manager for Tommy Thompson. He was later Secretary of Commerce. No, Todd Alba is talking to Bill McCoshin today in his role as president and founder of the Janesville Jets North American Hockey League team, talking about their new arena and their home opener this weekend. Jim Santel will be appearing with Maggie Dawn this afternoon at 4:05 and then at 5:05, talking to Noel Haverson of NeighborWorks in Green Bay about the housing crisis and homeowner programs to keep housing affordable, and Nightlight with Pete Schwabba at 7:30 tonight, Bar Band Friday with Terry Barr. All that coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. A few minutes more here with Jennifer Schulze and Jim Santel and Mark Jacob. And I want to go to the comments here on YouTube, this one from Adam. And then, Mark, we'll go to you on this one. The administration is successfully finding ways to distract from the Epstein cover-up. No matter what, all conversations need to lead back to Epstein. Now, I'm not going to subscribe to the notion that this entire Kimmel thing was like entirely an Epstein distraction, but it happens to be a very nice coincidence. And I guess what I'm trying to do, Mark, is steer us back toward, I mean, not that this shouldn't die down. This is still an outrage, but we are careening toward another government shutdown. We have the Epstein files out there. We have farmers' crops about to rot in the fields because China hasn't purchased anything yet. And so somewhere along the line, we've got to juggle many plates at once and keep people focused on some of the things that are really going to impact them.
Right. I mean, yes. I mean, the real trick there, Pat, is that the Epstein files doesn't directly affect you unless you care about, you know, children getting sexually assaulted, which all of us should and do care about. But I mean, but these kitchen table issues, the fact that prices are rising and the fact that, the government may shut down. I mean, these are really important things for people. The truth is everything's going in the wrong direction. I mean, when you look at the public health and the vaccine rates and stuff like that, that's alarming. People will die in coming years because of what RFK Jr. did. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be alarmed about. But what we really ought to do is put it all under a big umbrella and say that everything's moving in the wrong direction because Donald Trump doesn't give a crap about anything but his own money and power. And And same thing with all the Republicans who are enabling him, and they've got to be stopped.
Jim, if we were focused elsewhere, one of the cases might be on the Epstein case, the way that Assistant Attorney General, is it Todd Blanche, did not exactly put on a textbook case of how to deal with Epstein, co-conspirator, co-offender, co-predator, Ghislaine Maxwell.
He did a terrible job of interviewing her. And again, he should not have been doing that in the first place. But putting aside his incompetence, again, this is the Deputy Attorney General, the second in command of the United States Department of Justice. Listen to what he said about the reasons why he did that. He said the point of the interview was not for me to pressure test every single answer she gave, of course. Well, if you really want to find the truth, that's what good investigations do, Mr. Yes. Deputy Attorney General. You've been a lawyer for a long period of time. You have no business being in that job if you don't understand how your own department works. And then here's the big one. The point of the interview was to allow her to speak, which nobody had done before. Again, Mr. Attorney General, Constitution, she had a trial. She has a right not to testify. That was the forum in which she could have taken the stand and told America everything that happened here. She had that forum. And he again repeats this notion that the American people should have had a chance to determine whether she is credible or not. There was that opportunity. She chose, constitutional right, not to pursue it. And what are you doing now, providing this additional forum? Are you going to go around as to every defendant who testified at trial, following which they're convicted, and say, you should have a forum. Let's sit down and just have a freewheeling discussion about things. This is so absurd. And again, it's coming not from someone who may not know about this. This is the second in command of the United States Department of Justice. It is horrifying, shocking, bewildering, and completely robbing him of his credibility.
Jim Santel is just getting warmed up. More preaching coming up on Amicus, a law review tomorrow at 9 a.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Jennifer, I'm going to give you the last word to again remind people on any one of these things. Just, I think everything should start with, if Joe Biden had, and we can do forcing a conservative host off the air, the stuff that Trump said in London this week that got no coverage, acting like a complete chucklehead, not to mention, you know, the Epstein case, but heaven forbid he trip on a sandbag and he, you know, now he needs to be committed. I don't know how we got to this point, but I will never get tired of pointing that out to media figures that want to make a big deal about Joe Biden's foibles that don't seem to be doing the same thing right now.
Well, spinning off of what Mark said, I think the big picture is we are less safe and everything is more expensive. And if you recall, those two things were big, big, big issues, particularly the more expensive, throughout the Biden administration. And I think if we could just put all of that under that umbrella and talk about it with some regularity, and frankly, people are feeling it. Coffee is too expensive already. The whole country drinks coffee. I'm telling you, I think it's going to be the coffee that really makes this hit home for people.
I think so too. I mean, people know what their prices are, and that they, whatever grace period existed for Trump on inflation, that is winding down rapidly. Jennifer Schulze, Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, thank you so much as always. It's always good to have you here. Have a great weekend.
Good to be with you, Pat.
Okay. Well, I mean, they're the best. We've got the best weekend review panel in the business here. You can hear them every Friday in our 7 a.m. hour. Dr. Kristen Lierley, she's the best too. She'll be in here right after the 8 o'clock news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.